Welcome back to IPOS on Air. This is Noemi. What music are we coming in on?
This is me again.
Nice. I should know that by now.
No, it's all right.
We are with Emily Miller, and I kind of wanted to talk about if there have been any stories that you have when you feel like you've just felt a lot of hope from your students.
Sure. I was talking a little bit about that in the last segment, and in particular, I just love when the students take ideas that we've talked about in class and run with them and make them their own and use what they've learned to just create their own activism. And mm-hmm. whether that is building bridges between diverse communities at school. I was talking about a particular club called the Get It Done Club that decided mm-hmm. that bridges needed to be built between different big clubs at school, the BSU, the Black Student Union, the Get It Done Club, which was predominantly white females, and the Familia Latina, the Latino Club. Mm-hmm. And they mobilized with the student council to create different projects and opportunities and mm-hmm. to build bridges. And they actually started meeting together. It was so wonderful because mm-hmm. they really started pulling the school together. Mm-hmm. And then they were also getting involved in the community and doing volunteer activities mm-hmm. together as these larger groups mm-hmm. get going into the community in ways that the students identified were needed mm-hmm. in each of their particular communities, whether that's the Latino community or the African-American community. So yeah. It was really powerful.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I remember they also did the mayoral forum.
Oh, that's right.
Remember that happening. Of course, I couldn't vote at that time, but it was wonderful to kind of see that and be able to be a part of that in a different way before you can vote. And I know during the pandemic, they also did a lot with food insecurity as
yes,
well.
Yes, absolutely.
And that was that's something that has been an issue, especially during the pandemic, for a lot of different communities.
And your club has been involved with that as well.
Food security. Yeah, for sure. We do it, I think, in a different. So they were doing a food pantry at the high school.
They created it.
Yeah. And I know that they had organized a lot with that. We're kind of doing more with the community gardens. Yeah, that's what we've been doing. But I know that also in your class, you have a lot of room for students to kind of take initiative and be able to be a part of their own education. I'm kind of thinking about, we have the journal entries and being able kind of reflect on what they've learned over the past, whether that's from maybe a documentary that we were mm-hmm. watching or also the current events that students do as well.
Right. That is the beauty of, again, how I'm always learning from my students. The course is not set up in the traditional, you'll have a 10-point multiple choice quiz at the end of this unit or whatever. Mm-hmm. It really is the main substantive summative projects. There's projects as well, these journal reflections, where students can either delve deeper into, like you said, a documentary or a reading that we did, or they can take a topic and do additional research around it. And mm-hmm. I'll always provide some introductory links or the ideas of directions they can go. But often students will take it, you included, Noemi, would take things in very different directions. And it's so fulfilling to see students be in charge of their own learning mm-hmm. and to do so much more than what I would have done. They just help build the curriculum with me. Mm-hmm. And then they'll bring it back often and teach what they've learned mm-hmm. from their journal entries. Or, as you mentioned, every week we have a current event presentation and mm-hmm. students present on a current event, whether that be, for example, as we await for the Supreme Court decision on the Dobbs case. Mm-hmm. Regarding abortion and reproductive choice rights for women. That was one example of a current event that students did research on.
Yeah.
But they were diverse, and I'm not thinking of any off the top of my head right now. But connecting, for example, environmental justice to mm-hmm. Gender issues and just the gamut of things. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think also kind of seeing, I know obviously teachers have a lot of knowledge from being able to teach for that long, but when you have 30 people in a classroom, you have so many other minds that are able to bring in their own stories.
That's right.
And I think that's part of also bringing in the story part of history as well.
That's right.
And being able to, not only as a teacher who teaches what they know, but also being able to facilitate knowledge throughout the classroom.
That's right. Learning is collaborative. Learning knowledge is constructive.
Mm-hmm.
And so even when I'm planning different activities to process a particular article or whatnot, I try to do it in a way that involves discussion and opportunity for students to bring in their own background knowledge, or to be able to take process the new knowledge and take it in an even new direction or new alley.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like you say, yeah, knowledge is, it's discursive. It's, mm-hmm. it's based on learning from each other.
Mm-hmm. And I think also, I was also wondering kind of, because it was, yeah, it was, of course it was, during the, our second semester of senior year during gender studies, when the, I just remember seeing like all of the articles about the potential for Roe v. Wade to be overturned. And I'm wondering kind of as a teacher how you went about teaching that the next day.
Yeah, that that's the thing about being a social studies teacher. You really have to be responsive to current mm-hmm. events. And so the next day following the leak of that draft Supreme Court decision, I dropped absolutely what we were going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And my colleague, Ms. Giovannis, who teaches mm-hmm. AP government, I was putting together something, but she had put together this beautiful lesson that allowed students to really explore mm-hmm. the intricacies of that draft decision. And so I just let students explore that, and then mm-hmm. we talked about it. And I also tried to provide a bit more, because we hadn't in our curriculum yet, we weren't at the point really where
right.
we delve into the history of Roe v. Wade and reproductive choice mm-hmm. in this country. And so I tried to provide mm-hmm. That
historical background
before yeah. you guys, we leapt into to processing the draft decision. Mm-hmm. So you had a framework.
Yeah.
But yeah, that you have to do that with social studies. I mean, I remember, what was it, last year, January 6th,
mm-hmm.
January 7th was probably the hardest day of my teaching career.
Mm-hmm.
And our whole department was staying up late yeah. thinking about how are we going to teach about what just happened, but not be didactic, but let students process what just happened to our nation's capital and to our country in a way that gave students the opportunity to voice their concerns and voice their questions in a respectful manner,
mm-hmm.
but learn from each other and feel that school is about what we're learning is relevant to their own lives.
Yeah. I know, looking at kind of the presentation that Ms. Giovannis had created, as an AP Gov student, being able to see that presentation, but then in fourth hour, but then also seeing it 2 hours later in seventh hour was really interesting, because in government and politics, you kind of take the political route
right.
of what is, you know, what do the different Supreme Court justices, what is their take on this? Are they being right. originalist? What does that mean?
Right.
What is going to really happen? And then looking at that from a gender standpoint later in the day and seeing how this is going to affect and also looking at the history of the movements behind it. Is this going to awaken another wave of feminism?
That's right.
And I think that was one of the questions that we had brought up as well.
Exactly. Oh, I'm really, that makes me happy to hear you say that, because I was worried. I knew I had some AP Gov students in there, but you're right. We did look at it through a different lens. And
mm-hmm.
so that opened up a different discussion.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's so important to do that too with these current issues as well.
Absolutely.
I'm wondering kind of with the shooting in Buffalo and the shooting in Texas.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
How do you as a teacher process that personally, but also in the classroom? And I don't know if there's necessarily a good answer for that, but I'm just wondering.
Yeah, you know, I think we have to acknowledge it. The day after, I guess it wasn't the day after, but Monday or whenever we went back to school after the Buffalo shooting, my first classes are world history and then modern U.S. And I just very directly brought it up, and wanted to reassure the students that the teachers and the school's priority is to make our school a safe place. And so obviously as a teacher, I want my students to feel safe because I know that if students don't feel safe, learning can't happen. But we also have to acknowledge, and especially with the Buffalo incident, you know, why are these mass shootings happening?
Right.
What do we need to change in our society? And let the students wrestle with this. It's not for me to preach to them, but it's for them to ask the questions themselves. Nonetheless, I did have to bring up, because many of my sophomores were not aware of something called the white replacement theory. That was a motivation behind this particular, the Buffalo shooting. And so I tried to build in that background knowledge of what his motivations were and plug that into the whole narrative that we're learning in modern U.S. history and world history. As we were in world history, we were in our fascism unit with World War II. And so how does that connect to what we're studying, and how do we see examples of fascism today in our own society? So building on those connections so that, again, history is relevant. But you can't ignore these things, because students know when you're ignoring things and sweeping things under a rug. They want you to be honest and real. I don't even think I could. You just have to acknowledge it. And you have to acknowledge students' feelings. And luckily, MMSD does a good job of providing support. So if students need to go to student services to process these horrific events, we have a very good systems in place to help them do that. Our student support services are just wonderful. And so as a teacher, I want to bring that up to students to know that they have support. But then I also want to engage them with the political sides of things, too, and the historical roots of these kind of actions. These are not just new events, right? There's a historical foundation for these kind of horrific events. So
I think, and also kind of looking at the way that history provides the context for what our current events are. In specific. I also kind of want,
And I just want to say, I never want students to just feel so overwhelmed and down. I want them to feel that there's hope, right, to make the world a better place. And so, but we have to fight for it. I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, in terms of also like education and the way that students can have autonomy over their own education too, and bringing that in and understanding not only is this going to be taught and the solutions will be taught, but being able to understand that that taking that initiative is something that we are definitely going to have to do, and will happen inevitably.
And I think you are the prime example of that, if I can put you on the spot. I mean, because you are such a doer. And it would be great just for me to hear actually about how you have, with your organization, made change happen. And perhaps what was your motivation? I mean, did you find your initial motivations in the classroom?
It was more just... honestly, current events, I think, in terms of like one of my friend's houses was destroyed in a flood. And so that's how we kind of got our start. I think that that promise between both of us to help each other in that time, freshman year, led to us creating the two events. And of course, with the rise of the climate movement in 2019, led to what we're doing now. And we kind of just float. We don't really have a specific... We have a mission, certainly, but we do also float in a way of whatever is needed at that time, we will be there for that. And that's kind of, I mean, our mission is very strangely, not strangely, but just it is our responsibility to take care of our community. And I think that just came out of ending. We had a speech at a state competition, and I think we just didn't have it an ending. And I think that just came randomly came out of my mouth at the end of the speech, and that just became our mission statement. So that's how we got the mission statement. It's our responsibility to take care of the community. And I think we do bring that into, I mean, of course we bring that into the school building. Everybody has their own personal narrative bringing that into the school building as well. I'm wondering if that's something like climate, if that's something that you find students bring to you or you try to integrate into the classroom.
Both yeah. ways. Absolutely. I think, in world history, obviously we're trying to build a whole curriculum with really the environment at the center, mm-hmm. obviously the people at the center, but also the environment, because yeah. we're not going to have any more world history if we don't have Mother Earth with us.
Right. And I think for me too, I think being able to understand the connection between climate and gender kind of for the first time within your class was really important. And I think it was, I'm just incredibly grateful to have had Aww. You as a teacher and to kind of recognize that and be able to, I don't know, bring that into the classroom, but also being able to see all of the other projects that the students had done, because I know that that definitely came from something that was really important to them as well.
Yeah. I think, are you speaking about the wisdom of Robin Wall Kimmerer?
Yeah,
and braiding sweetgrass,
yeah.
and
I've read that in at least 5 of my classes, but yeah. looking at it from different lenses is really interesting as well. It's a great book too.
It's a wonderful book.
It's wonderful too. We're also integrating that into our class curriculum because that's very important.
If you haven't read it, the book is called Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer, and they just released a middle school version of the book.
We did,
for
yeah.
all ages. So,
yeah, it's yeah. a great place to end, too. Yeah. So thank you so much
for my pleasure.
Coming
Thanks for
tonight.
Having me.
And next week, Evan is taking over the show, and I think you have a great show.
I have, up. Yeah, I've got some ideas. Fingers crossed, you know, it's yeah. going to be great.
Yeah. Well, for now, this was Noemi, and that is The Sauce. Thank you.